In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. All right. I'm sorry I missed you guys yesterday for the retreat, but I've been here for a little bit of time, and I asked a few people how the retreat is going, and I got different feedback, all right, how the retreat's going so far. From what I sense from the group here is that you still didn't get it. Did you get it yet?
No.
You didn't get it? Okay. What I sense from what I see here is that everyone's here on the retreat and they're going through the motions kind of a thing, but you didn't get it. And you know what one of the worst things in life is when you don't get it. What's the reason that you do anything in life? If you don't know the reason that you do anything in life, life becomes miserable. Let me give you an example.
School.
School is a good example. Let's say other examples. Everyone, all right, who? Let's see. Who does not want to be, like, let's say who doesn't want to have money in life? Anyone says, my goal is not to have any money in life? You're liars. All right? Anyone who says, my goal is to fail out of school in life? Lying again. In general, people like to do well in school. People like to get a good job. People like to get a lot of money. People like to have a lot of nice possessions. But the problem is when you think, when you don't understand what you're doing in life. Anyone ever heard of Elvis Presley?
Yes.
You've all heard of Elvis Presley. Was he rich?
Yes.
Was he famous?
Yes.
Was he happy?
No.
Very good. Elvis Presley, for those of you who don't know, died at the age of 42 years old. Anyone know what he died of?
Drugs.
Drugs and?
Alcohol.
And?
Depression.
Very good. Obesity. All right. Obesity is not a good one to die from. In an interview, in an interview with his wife, okay, after he died, they asked her about Elvis, and she said the following about her husband. He never came to terms with what his purpose was in life. He thought he was here for a reason, but he didn't know what it was. Maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to help people, but he never really figured out what it was, and that's why he died a miserable, miserable old man, okay? One of the worst things in life is to be lost. And if you've ever been driving someplace and not know where you are or where you're going, you know that feeling that I'm talking about, all right? That not knowing where you are or where you're supposed to be going. I think that a lot of us in life are lost, that we don't know what we're here for. And I think even more so, even more specifically, a lot of us are here this weekend and we're lost. We don't know why we're here. We don't know why they keep waking us up really early. We don't know why the food doesn't taste good. We don't know why it's so cold. We don't know why any of these things are happening to us. And we feel like, in a sense, we're lost. Well, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 on your handout. The first verse says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." If you have a pen, I want you to circle the word workmanship, or underline it. Workmanship. I'm going to tell you the punchline of my talk, and then I'll give you the rest of the details. You were made, each one of you is here for a reason, and that reason is work. Each one of you was created and put where you are to do something in life. Does that something, how many people think that's Xbox? How many people think that something they were created to do is PlayStation? Or watch a lot of TV? Or spend a lot of time sleeping on the floor and not paying attention to Buna Anthony when he's talking? How many people think that's the reason that you were created? It's okay, give him a break. The bottom line is, the bottom line is that no one, every one of us, we all believe we were created by God. All right? And God is not a stupid creator. That means God doesn't create something for no reason. So God's not going to create a person and her only function in life is to take up space. And not going to create another person and her only function is to use up air. And another person, her only job is to watch TV. If God created me and you, and all of you nod your heads if you believe God created me and you. You believe God created you, right? You don't believe in any funny theories or anything. You just came into existence. You were created by God, so there has to be a reason. And my theory, my hypothesis, is that reason is to do something with your life. Like I said, God created each one of us for a reason. If you don't understand what I'm talking about here, that's what we're going to try to get into today. Look at the next verse on your handout. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Now I know that this weekend the servants are being really mean to you guys. I know they are. All right, and I know that you're not getting, you know, good food, and I know the beds are uncomfortable, and some people are cold, and some people hurt themselves, all that kinds of stuff. So I know that it's very easy to say, you know, my life is not good, and everything's bad, and cry about myself, and feel sorry for myself. But I'm telling you that every single person in this room is in the top 1% of the world when it comes to gifts. The top 1%, meaning there's 99% of the world is in a worse condition than you. Why? How is that possible? What do you have that 99% of the world doesn't have?
Spiritual.
Okay, let's start here. Moheb said a very good thing. He said spiritual. Talk to me about spiritual. What you have spiritual that other people... First of all, you have Christianity, right? All of you are Christian. That's better than all the people who are not Christian. Second of all, you have a church next to you. How many Christians don't have a church? Third of all, you have sermons and retreats and Bible studies and youth meetings, and you have all kinds of stuff. You go around, all right, and you find people who want to get close to God and people who want to go to heaven when they end this world. All right, and people that don't have a church like we have here, and they'll tell you you're the luckiest person in the world, and you're the most spoiled person in the world, and you don't realize it. Why? Because you have servants who care about you. You have priests who come to talk to you all the time. You have all kinds of stuff available at your fingertips. You have Bible studies and youth meetings and everything like that available for you. All right, and we take it for granted. So number one, first thing, go ahead, good Moheb, spiritual. What else do we have 99% of the world doesn't have? Yes, Monica. A house, material things. All right. Now some people say, well, my house is old and my car is old. My car is old? Anyone who says my car is old, come talk to me. All right. 99% of the world doesn't have a car to drive around in. All right. There's people who can live their whole lives, and they could be a family of five people living in a small place like this. And if you don't believe me, I've seen it with my own eyes. Anyone who's been to Africa has seen it. Alright? And they've seen the kind of small places that people live in. So don't tell me that your house is small. Don't tell me that your car is old. You have things that I'm not even talking about. Forget about Africa, not Africa. I'm talking about people here in the United States of America who don't have what you have. What else? Yes. Food. Okay, very good. How many people in the world are hungry? How about your health? How many people in the world are sick? How many people in the world can't get up from bed? How many people in the world can't see? How many people in the world can't hear? If you don't think there's that many, then you haven't been around long enough. Okay? The majority of the world, here I'm going to say a statement here. And this is a fact of life, you may not believe me. The majority of the people in the world suffer on a day-to-day basis. Okay? The majority of the people in the world suffer from the time they wake up to the time they go to sleep. Whether it's religious persecution, whether it's no food, no house, no clothes, whether it's, you know, no bad health, any kind of stuff like that. The fact that you live in Northern Virginia, or Maryland, Montgomery County, wherever it is you live in, alright, and the fact that you have a nice church that has heating, and that you have nice servants who come and teach you the Bible, and that you have priests who care about you enough to say, you didn't come to church and we missed you and all that kinds of stuff, that means you have better than 99% of the people in the world. Okay? Now, if we establish the fact that I have more than anyone else, then why did God give me more? Why did God give you more than he gave to 99% of the people in the world? Well, let's read that verse together one more time. As each one has received a gift, let him play Xbox as much as possible with it. No. As each one has received a gift, let him use it to make as much money as possible. As each one has received a gift, let him complain about the other gift that he didn't receive. What does it say? As each one has received a gift, let him minister it to one another. Okay? Means do something with it for someone else. Bottom line is there ain't no free rides. There ain't no free rides in God's house. No one is just given without expecting to do something with it. If I give you a dollar, I expect you to go out and buy me a Big Mac and bring it back to me. All right? I'm not giving you a dollar for your own sake. Well, fish fillet, we're fasting. Okay? I want you to open up. You all have Bibles. I want you to go to the first verse in the Bible. The very first verse in the Bible. The very first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1. Come on, this should be the easiest verse in the Bible to get out. Paul Hakim, read it for me. Genesis 1, 1. Shh. Genesis 1, 1, first verse in the Bible. Paul, read it for me, nice and loud. Stop again. Stop again. Again. Say it again. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, me. Not in the beginning, my. Not in the beginning, this. In the beginning, God. You want to know what your life is about? It ain't about you. It's about God. In the beginning, it started with God. Before there was any kind of you, before there was anyone in this world, it was God. And the world is about God. And God decided to bring you in. So you better understand this simple fact. That if your life is only based on you, on how I feel, and how I'm comfortable, and how I look, and how I'm popular, and how am I this, and how am I that, then you ain't living life the right way. Because it ain't about you, it's about God. In the beginning, God. All the talents that He gave you, all the gifts that He gave you, all the parents that He gave you, all the servants that He gave you, all the churches and Bible studies and retreats that He gave it to you for a reason, to do something for Him and not for your own self. Look at the next verse on your handout. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, this one you've heard me say before in sermons. This is the verse. I want to put this on top of the church, and everyone has to recite it on the way in. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. All right? The Bible says, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Who? I don't know who John Smith is, but St. Paul was before John Smith, probably. Pocahontas? No Pocahontas. None of that. St. Paul says, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. I say the same thing to you. Okay? All of you, every single one of you wants to eat. Right? And every single one of you, forget about physical eating. Let's talk spiritual. Every one of us wants to be spiritually fed. And we want people to care for us. When I'm sad, do this for me. And when I'm lonely, come and smile. And when I'm sick, come and visit me. And me, 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 me. Well, the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay? That's the principle of what Christianity is all about. So write down on your handout that you are here to serve God by serving others. Write it down. That's the purpose that you're here on earth, and that's the purpose we're specifically here on this retreat this weekend. You are put here to serve God, and you serve God by serving other people. Alright, now, I said the word serve, alright? The word servant. Whenever I say servant and serve, we get the wrong kind of impression in our head. Alright? And this is because, I don't know, we've been ingrained this way by the church. If I think serving for the church, if someone comes and says, I want to serve the church, usually there's only kind of two categories of service. Alright? There's, of course, what's the big one? Sunday school servant. Okay? And then if you don't want to be a Sunday school servant, what's your only other option? Is clean the bathrooms. Okay? So either you serve in Sunday school or you clean the bathrooms. Nothing in between. And that's what we think. Okay, well, I don't like to clean the bathrooms and I can't teach Sunday school. I'm not a servant. All right? And there's only kind of two options. Well, obviously, if God says every single one of you is a servant, I'll tell you right now, I ain't never cleaned a bathroom in my life. And I'm not teaching Sunday school right now. Am I a servant? I know lots of people who serve God without ever going near a bathroom, without ever cleaning the isharbs in church, and without ever teaching Sunday school. All right? So there's more kinds of servants than just Sunday school and cleaning a church and things like that. Hundreds of services in the church. And if you don't believe me, come and spend one. Now I'm just talking about the church, all right? There's all kinds of other services. But I'm talking about just specifically the church. You come. I challenge you, all right? You guys are all off for 2 weeks, right? I'll give you 2 nickels, all right? If you come and spend one of those days off with me in church from 9 in the morning until, not even 5, let's just say till 3 or 4. Spend one day with me, and you will see what other aspects of service is involved in the church. And you'll see that there's a thousand things which are needed on a day-to-day basis, which there ain't no one to do. And that's just in the church, where church is where everything's nice. What happens if you go outside the church? What happens if you go into your neighborhood? What if you go into your school? What happens if you go to Africa? What happens if you go to Disneyland? What happens if you go anywhere? There's all kinds of stuff to be done in the world. Yeah, Disneyland needs a lot of service, believe me. Okay? But the point is that every one of us has to find a job. Every single one of us has to do something. Alright? None of us is here just to take up space. Alright? If you came to my house and you wanted to just spend, let's say, you're gonna spend the next 6 months at my house. Alright? Let's say you got a scholarship or something, spend 6 months at Abuna Anthony's house. You think you're just gonna sit there and sleep all day and eat my food and eat my Oreo cookies and drink my Kool-Aid? No! You're going to do the dishes. You're going to mow the lawn. You're going to do something. You're going to earn your keep. Okay? Well, it's the same thing here. If you are not here in Christianity, if you're... Whatever. If you are not... If you are here in the church or in Christianity just to take, just to get stuff for me, well, you ain't in the right place. Because that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about no free rides. The thing is, one time I mentioned this in a sermon on Sunday, but maybe some of you aren't paying attention. There's a difference between prominent service and significant service. Okay? Prominent and significant. Anyone remember what I said the difference was? Alright, well the difference is, prominent means something that you see. Okay? Significant means something that's important. Let me use my body as an example. On my body, there are prominent members. My fingers, something you can see. My nose, my ears, my feet. Those are things you can see. Certain things that you can't see is like my heart, my kidney, my lungs, my things like that. Now, which of the two is more important? If I got a boo-boo on my pinky, okay? Let's say I cut my... This is my pinky. Let's say I cut my pinky. Could I get by? I could make it. You know, it's not a big deal. Even if I broke a bone, hey, I could still go on. It's not the end of the world. But let's say I got a cut in my heart, or a cut in my liver, or a cut in my kidney. Then that'd be a really big deal, wouldn't it? Well, it's the same thing. Don't look at service as just, okay, the priest is a servant, the Sunday school servants, they're servants. Well, the rest of us, we don't have any kind of job. I'll be honest with you, my job is the least important. I stand up here and I give sermon and I speak and a shli and all that kinds of stuff. My job is the least important. And I gave you this example on a Sunday. I don't know if you were paying attention. But, okay, let's say we're talking about in the church. Our goal is to bring people to church. Okay? That's the goal. That's why the church exists. To bring people from the outside in. Let's say I gave the most killer sermon of all time. Like people were weeping and crying and repenting and all this kinds of stuff. But then, let's say some other servants didn't do their job. Let's say there's a pothole in the parking lot. And that guy who's supposed to fill it didn't fill it. And on the way out, the person who just came for the first time banged their car, busted a tire. Would it make a big deal that I gave a great sermon? What would they remember when they thought of St. Mark's Church? That's the place I busted my tire and I spent an hour trying to fix it. And I ain't never going back to that place again. How about, let's say, the person who cleans the pews didn't do a good job of cleaning the pews. And I sat down and there was cookies and Oreos and all kinds of stuff. Does it matter what the priest does? All right, let's say another one. This is one I know you can all relate to. Every single one of you can relate to. Yeah. Let's say I went to the bathroom and the person who's supposed to stock the toilet paper didn't stock the toilet paper. How would I feel about that church? All right? Believe me, that's an experience. If it's ever happened to you, you'd remember that for the rest of your life. All right? And that's not an experience you're going to overlook. There's a difference between the prominent service and the significant service. I'm saying that each one of you can do something very, very significant in life. Okay? Look at on your handout, the next fill in the blank. Every Christian is a servant. Every Christian is a servant. You may not be a priest, you may not be a Sunday school servant, but anytime you use any of your talents, your gifts, or your abilities in the name of God, then you're a servant. Anytime you use anything to help someone else in the name of God, then you're being like a servant. Alright? So now I want you to all do something. Everyone, look to the person next to you and say, you're a servant. Congratulations. Alright, very good. Very good. Bishoy, sit down. Okay, stop, stop, stop. That's enough, that's enough, that's enough. You're all servants. That's enough. Very good. Congratulations. You've all made it into service. Very good. We have a servants meeting next Wednesday night after the Bible study. We expect to see you all there. Thank you very much. Okay? Look at the next... I want you to look at the next verse on your handout. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Why is it so important? Why is it that each one of us is a servant? Because each one of us is called to be a Christian, and Christian means people like Christ. Agree? Well, the Bible says that even Christ did not come to be served, but to serve. So if your goal is to be as much as you can like Jesus Christ, and that's all of your goals, you wouldn't be sitting here unless you were. Then the most important thing that you have to realize is that you have to always be serving. Like I said in the beginning, the majority of the people in this world are lost. All right, they haven't figured out what I just told you. The stuff that I just told you, you can tell the whole world. The people will think it's some kind of amazing thing. People don't know what I'm telling you right now. Most of the people in this world are searching to be significant, searching for self-esteem, searching for popularity, searching to be important, searching to be this and searching to be that. But the problem is they're looking in all the wrong places. People look for money. People look for popularity. People look for being cool. People look for relationships. People look for all kinds of different stuff to make them feel important. But I'm telling you that no matter what it is you're searching for, if you are not finding your significance through service, then you're never ever going to be satisfied in life. Trust me. I can find you 1,000 people who have all the money in the world who hate their life. I can find you 1,000 people who are really, really popular and hate their life. I can find you the most attractive and the people who have the most girlfriends and boyfriends and all that kind of stuff, and I'll show you how miserable each one of them is. I'm telling you, if you want to be happy in life, real happiness, all right, find someone who's achieved what you want and do what they did. Okay? You tell me, who's that person that you want to be like in life? Who's that person who's achieved what you want to achieve? The popular guy, the girl who sleeps around all the time, that's what you want to be like? Or you want to be like that guy who's always, you know, making fun of people, but he has no real friends? Is that what you want to be like? If you want to have real significance in life, you find it through service. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew 10:39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I'm telling you, the most incredible, amazing thing that could ever happen to you in life. I'm going to talk to you right now about the greatest thrill in life. The greatest high that you can possibly reach is being used by God. Okay? Being in the palm of God's hand. Having God take you like this. Okay? Pretend I'm God. Samuel. Okay? If I'm God, the greatest thing for Samuel's life, that he could be in my hand and he feels me moving him. Do this. Do that. Do this. Do that. Believe me, if you've never experienced it, that's the greatest thrill in life. If you have experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. So, how do I get there? How do I serve like Jesus served? How do I have that significance? If I told you what's the most important criteria for service, what would you guess? Humble? No.
Nothing.
Obedience? No. What?
Breathing.
What'd you say?
Breathing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Breathing.
Nothing or breathing.
Breathing? Okay. That's not what I was going to say, but actually, that's me and Buna right on the same thing. Okay? What I was going to say on your handout, the most important thing in order to serve like Jesus, I must be available. Available. Okay? I must be available. All the other stuff that you said, the humble, the obedient, the smart, whatever it is you guys may have said, God will take care of that. That stuff's important, but that'll come later. But the most important thing is, like Bishoy and these people over here were saying, is just that you're breathing. Is just that you're willing. Is just that you're, just that you say, okay, God, use me. I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 10 in your Bible. It's not in your handout. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Okay. Matthew chapter 10, follow with me. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Let's stop right there. This is the calling. This is when our Lord sent the 12 apostles. His first missionaries, his first servants into the world. And it says there that he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. All they had to do was be willing. And God took care of all the rest. All this other kind of stuff. Sometimes we think that in order to be a servant, I gotta have all this kind of stuff, and I gotta be able to memorize the Bible, and I gotta be able to read Coptic, and I gotta be in church 24 hours a day, and I gotta be depressed like all my Sunday school servants are always depressed in life. No! You don't have to be like that. All you have to do is be willing and be available, and God will give you the rest. He'll give you power to cast out demons. He'll give you power to heal the sick. He'll give you power to do all these kinds of stuff. All you have to do is say, I'm here and I'm willing. When your teacher calls you in class, what's your, like, let's say you're doing a roll call. And let's say I say, Danny Wassef. Here. Very good. That's all God wants. Or present. That's all. That's it.
Available.
Right now, God is coming to each one of you. And he's saying, Bishoy Bose, Crystal, Sherry, Mark, Gigi, Mina. All he wants you to say one word. Here. Present. Willing. Okay. Here I am. Anything like that. That's all God wants from me and for you. All right? That's all it takes from Him. And in Christ's ministry showed that. All right? The importance of availability. Look at the next verse on your handout. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30 and 32. Says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the road cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" Most important word there, circle "stood still" on your handout. Stood still. Jesus is walking down a road one day, okay, on his way to Jericho. And what happens? Two blind guys are yelling, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they're screaming, they're making a dosha. And what does he do? What does he do? He stood still. Was he planning on healing these people? Was he planning on stopping here? No. The fact that he was walking towards Jericho means he had an appointment, or maybe he had dinner plans, or maybe he had something. He was walking with to a specific place. But then while he was on the way, something happened, and he was willing to stand still. I'm telling you that the most important thing for you to be a servant of the Lord is to be available and willing to be interrupted. Okay? Willing to be interrupted in your day-to-day schedule. All of us can sit here and say, okay, I'm willing to serve the Lord. Maybe I have like 15 minutes free between like snack time and dinner time, or like, you know, commercials and Monday Night Football. I'll serve God during those times. But any other time, Lord, I'm busy. Lord, I got my own life to lead. Lord, I got stuff to do. Well, that's not the ministry of Jesus. He was always available and willing to be interrupted. Okay? If you look at all the miracles he did, it never once says that he went out to heal a certain person. Never. Anytime he did a miracle, anytime he did healing, it was always in the middle of doing something else, and then he stopped. What was the first miracle Christ did? Wedding of Cana at Galilee. He turned water into wine. He was at a wedding, and they interrupted him from a wedding. Even a wedding, like, even celebrities have a chance to go to a wedding and take five, right? He's at a wedding just attending, and they interrupted him and said, "We need you to do this." And he did it. What was it? How about the miracle? Samaritan woman. No, how about when he had another one? It's not on my handout. Anytime there's a miracle, all right, it's always Christ walking and someone interrupting him, and he's willing to go out of his way. Samaritan woman is another very good example of that. So many people in the Bible study the steps of Christ. But if you want to learn a lot about who Christ is, study the stops of Christ. Study all the times he stood still. Study all the times he turned from his way and did something. Then you'll learn a lot about him. Look at the next verse in your handout. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28 says, "Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back tomorrow. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you.'" One of the most important things about servant-hearted people is that just like Nike, they just do it. Okay, no procrastination. All right, and that's what that verse says. Is that don't send someone away when you have the ability to give them what they want right now. What I'm telling you is from the second you wake up in the morning, you go out in the world, there's people around you who are in need. People around you are hurting. And I'm saying, don't make them wait. Don't say, "Come back later when I got some more free time." What we're supposed to do is, any position we're in life, is be ready to serve. You all have camouflage on, right? You all see that we're talking about soldiers. Well, we're talking about being in the army of Christ here. What would you say, let's say Mark, okay? Let's say me and Mark are soldiers together, and John. We'll take the threesome together, all right? Three of us are soldiers together, and we're fighting in, let's say we're invading Canada in the morning, all right? Tomorrow morning we're going to invade Canada, all right? And let's say, I don't know anything about war, but I've seen the movie Top Gun, all right? Anyone seen the movie Top Gun? Great movie, all right? Very good. So let's say we're Top Gun, I'm plane number one, he's plane number two, he's plane number three. The idea is I fly first, these two guys cover me. You know what cover me means? Means that if someone starts coming at me, they just shoot, so I can go straight forward. Okay? Their job is to cover me. Well, let's say John decides in the morning, I don't feel good today. I'm just not going to go to war today. Canada will have to wait for another day. You guys go without me. Go without me. We can still go, but we just go without me. What would we think about Mr. John there? Well, we'd probably turn and shoot him first, right? It doesn't work like that. A soldier can't say, "No, I don't feel like it right now." A soldier can't say, "No, you guys go without me." Well, it's the same thing in the army of God. It doesn't work. You can't decide to say, today, I don't want to serve. Today, this person needs my help. I'll come back later. Or someone else take care of this situation. That's a bad soldier. That's a soldier who puts people's lives at stake. Okay? That's not the kind of soldier that we're going to be. So we have to be available. Go to the back of your handout. There's three common obstacles that you will find in high school life from being available. Three kind of barriers. The first barrier is being self-centered. Or selfish is another way. Selfish. This is the number one enemy of service. Okay? My agenda, my plans, my fun, my free time, my whatever. Every so often, okay, I don't like to spend a lot of money on nice things, but every so often, I've been to a nice hotel. Okay? If you've ever been to a nice hotel, there's something really, really cool at a nice hotel. It's called the concierge. Anyone ever heard of a concierge? Who knows what what does a concierge do, Mark? Shh.
He's the guy that you call if you need something.
Very good. Mark, I couldn't have said it better myself. He's the guy you call if you need something. If you don't know what a concierge is, the best way I can explain it is it's a slave, basically. You need anything in life, he'll do anything you want. You need a pizza, call the concierge, he'll get you a pizza to your room. You need to find a place that sells shoes, boom, call him and find you a place to sell shoes. You need something random, like one time, like, this thing broke, and I needed to fix this thing. To fix this thing. Okay? I don't even know what this thing is called. But I called the concierge, boop, 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 boop. Go here, go do this, go do that. Concierge is the best thing in the whole wide world. Okay? Once I discovered them, like, I've never felt anything like that. Every time I go to the concierge, like, I'm one of those weird people, and like, I'm like, you know, excuse me, you know, I hate to bother you, you know, I know it's late and all this kind of stuff, but I got a question. And they always give me the same answer. And I was like, no, it's no bother at all. It's our job. You know, it's my job to do this. But I'm always like, you know, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're busy and stuff like that. Like, I feel like, you know, why is he, you know, like, I should get my own pizza, get my own thing or whatever. So I'm always like, you know, I'm sorry. And he's always like, no, don't worry. It's not a bother. It's what I'm paid to do. I'm here and this is my job. You know what? That's our job in life. It's to be like the concierge guy. Alright? As long as we are on duty, then we do whatever we're asked. Alright? And it's not an inconvenience to me, or it's not a bother. It's my job. Alright? From the time I wake up, from the time I become a Christian, it's my job to make people happy. And it's my job to help people fix their mistakes. And it's my job to do this or to do that. Alright? So it's never a bother, an interruption. It's our job to do. So selfishness is the first barrier that she got to get past. Second barrier is perfectionism. Perfectionism. Perfectionism says that, you know, I can't serve right now because, you know, I got all this other kind of stuff going on, and when I get it together and I get everything okay in my life, then I'll start to serve. Well, look at Ecclesiastes 11, chapter 11, verse 4. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Basically what that means, if you're trying to sow some seeds, alright, you can't do that. The best time is not when it's windy. Obviously, because the wind will blow it all around. So the best is when it's not windy at all. But he's saying if all you're going to do is watch for the wind, and if you see just an inch, a little tiny little bit of wind, you're not going to do it, you ain't never going to plant nothing. Okay? Anyone who's waiting for the perfect conditions is never going to find it. Same thing with us in service. Real servants do the best they can for Christ today. Don't wait for the situation to be perfect. That's why we have a principle. I have a principle. Okay? It's the good enough principle. You know what the good enough principle is? It's a great principle. It means nothing has to be perfect. Just good enough. Don't waste all your time and all your efforts in making everything perfect and all that kind of stuff. As long as it's good enough, that's all that God needs. God doesn't like perfect people. And God doesn't use perfect people. Because if God only used perfect people, then no, he wouldn't use anyone, because there ain't no perfect people. To demonstrate this, I need all the servants to please stand up where you are. Please, servants, stand up. Sit down, Mina. Okay, all the Sunday school servants, sorry. Okay, I want you to look at who's standing up, okay? That one's got a funny bandana upside down on his head. This one's got mud all over himself. There's Reem, there's George, there's Phoebe. Just look at them, okay? Do you say, I want to take a vote? How many people says, this is a perfect bunch of people right here? That each one of these people is perfect. Obviously. All right, have a seat. Thank you. Obviously, by the looks of the servants, then you don't have to be perfect to be a servant. And God doesn't use just perfect people. Because you know, each one of you knows, that God uses these people in different ways, and none of them is perfect. Okay? Shh. God uses ordinary people who live ordinary lives, who drive ordinary cars, who live in ordinary houses, go to ordinary schools, have ordinary jobs, in ordinary everyday life. So if you fit any of those criteria, then you're a servant who's ready to be used by God. So selfishness is number one, perfectionism is number two, and the third one is materialism. Materialism. Luke chapter 16, verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Most important word there is cannot. Circle cannot. This is something that's really important. I want everyone to pay attention close carefully here. Is you got to make a decision in life. What is it that you're going to serve? Who's your master? You can't serve two. You can't serve more than one. So either you're going to try your whole life to get rich, or your whole life is going to be to look cool, your whole life is going to be popular, or your whole life is going to be to serve God. You got to choose one. You can't have them all. You have to choose whether you want any of these other things or you want God's blessing. If you really want to serve God and that's your number one priority, then take it seriously and you got to get rid of all the materialism. There's nothing I hate more than when people tell me, hey, let's say I say, hey, let's go on a retreat. Oh, I can't. I got work. Work? How much do you get paid? Oh, I get paid $5.50 an hour. So I'm going to make $15 this weekend. $7.50. So a whole weekend, I'm going to make $30 or $40. I'm telling you that something important like a retreat, talking about the salvation of your soul, turn around, Bishoy, salvation of your soul, and you're telling me $30? $30? Oh, I can't come to church on Sunday because I work? Shh. Or I can't do this because any kind of garbage like that, that's horrible. Okay? You must choose who your master is in life. And if it's going to be money, then make it money and be clear and go and serve money. And if it's going to be popularity, go and serve popularity. But don't try to fool yourself. Don't try to fool God. Don't try to, okay, yeah, God, you know, I really care about you a lot. You're really, really important. So I'm going to come to this retreat, but really my heart is with money. You want money, go get money. You want popularity, go get popularity. You're going to be miserable the rest of your life. What I'm trying to tell you today, you remember the story of the parable of the seeds, of those four seeds that are scattered? Three of them fall on bad soil, and one of them is on good soil. So what that tells me is that any time a seed is thrown out, right now I'm throwing out seeds, 75% of them are rejected. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. 75% of sermons or Bible studies or whatever is rejected by people. So I know that what I'm telling you right now, some people are going to completely blow me off. And some people are saying, you know, can't wait to finish. And some people are thinking to themselves, this is complete garbage. Or some people may not have listened to a word I had to say. You know what? The Bible says that that's to be expected. That some people have hard hearts. But I have to be honest with you. You have to choose what it is you want to do with your life. You must choose. Do you want to invest your life in something valuable or do you want to waste it? Do you want to invest your life in something that's going to last past high school, past college even? If so, you have to make that decision. Every single one of you has been given many gifts and many talents, and you have to understand it's not for you. Look at the last verse on your handout. Matthew 25:21. And I want you to read this carefully and I want you to memorize it when you go home. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. One day God's going to call you, and your number's going to be up. And God's going to stand before God. He's going to say, I gave you a house. I gave you parents. I gave you Buna Anthony. I gave you the servants. I gave you Buna Shoy. I gave you this church. I gave you sermons on Sundays. I gave you youth meetings on Fridays. I gave you retreats. What did you do? What did you do with it? What could you have possibly done with all that? And I'm telling you, what I want him to say is what he says here. Good job. Well done. Believe me, from the bottom of my heart, and I speak on behalf of all the servants here, the only thing that gets me up in the morning is the hope that he's going to say that to you. This retreat, everything that we do here is not for our own sakes, but is that that's my only wish in life. That's my only dream. That each one of you will hear those words, God saying, good job. Well done. You did it. You did what I called you to do. I gave you a mission and you did it. You didn't waste your life like all those other people. That's the only reason, okay, that we pray. That's the only reason that we do retreats. That's the only reason that we get up in the morning, is to hear God say those words to you. This group right here, okay? I want to do like a study in like 10 years, all right? This group right here, believe me, this is a sleeping giant right here. This group right here. You're a sleeping giant. The youth group of our church is a sleeping giant. Once this giant wakes up and starts saying, no, I'm not going to waste my life. I'm going to do something with my life. Man, the world better watch out. Trust me, the world has to watch out. Because this is the group I hear that can change the world. Old people like us can't do anything. Our life is, that's it, we're done. But you are the people who can fix the world. You are the people who can take care of all the problems and the things that are going on that need to be fixed. Believe me, if every single one of us picks up our mission, okay, and we start to do what God wants us to do, believe me, the world will never know what hit it. That's my only dream. It's going to happen whether you want it or not. Because like I said, some people in this room don't want that to happen. And it doesn't matter if you don't want it to happen. It's going to happen. But the question is, do you want to be part of them? Okay? So right now, what I want, Phoebe's going to come up here. Okay? And I want everyone to stay where you are, close your Bible, bow your heads, and close your eyes. Okay? I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes and think about what we just talked about while Phoebe leads us in a song.